1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Dear friends, in 2010, I moved from Illinois to my home state of Florida. And somewhere amid all the packing and painting and cleaning, I realized that I was grateful for all that activity. I was grateful for the activity because while my younger son, Andrew, was moving with me, my older son, Justin, was not. Well, I told myself reluctantly, I guess it's that time. Justin's 21, in college, working, has all he needs, he'll be fine. I think every parent anticipates that moment of separation when a child grows up and leaves home for a life of his or her own. And yet, as Justin and I prepared to say goodbye that evening, despite my self-warning of don't make a scene, I still had a lump in my throat and tears in my eyes. And hugging Justin, I remember saying, "Son, there's so much I still want to say." And that was true. There was so much that I still wanted to say about love and life and relationships and successes and failures, and especially so much I still wanted to say about God. And yet as I watched Justin back down the driveway, and in his case, speed away, what I hoped was that through the years I had said enough. King Solomon was one of the wisest and wealthiest and most powerful kings to ever live. Under his administration, the nation of Israel achieved a zenith, prosperity, power, riches, the highest in 40 years. And yet, despite a king who could have given his children almost anything, what Solomon wanted most for his children was not fame, not power, not fortune, but rather wisdom, a word that he used 40 times in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom, which Solomon unequivocally associated with wisdom from God. And so he wrote, "The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth, from his word, comes knowledge and understanding." At times, you and I may equate wisdom with high intelligence or doctoral programs. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul mentioned wise men, scholars, philosophers. That's not really surprising because Corinth was only 60 miles from Athens, and Athens was the hometown of philosophers like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, great thinkers who devised great systems of philosophies to address all the nagging questions of life. Questions that still nag us today. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Where did I come from? Why does evil exist in the world? Is there a God? What is truth? What happens to me when I die? And yet here, human philosophies and curriculums are really of no value because God's definition of wisdom is very different than the human definition. This is the same God who said in Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, tell me, how high is that? How far apart is that? So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What does that teach except that true higher education comes from the wisdom from God? How does God's wisdom differ from human wisdom? So much could be said here, but let me offer three principles. The first is that God's wisdom is as eternal and unchangeable and infallible as he is. I, the Lord, do not change, Malachi 3:6. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Why do those passages comfort us so? They comfort us because they tell us that our God never changes. He is never unloving. He is never unfaithful. He is never weary. He's never in a bad or unpredictable mood. He's never for us today and against us tomorrow. He never fails to keep his promises and fulfill his word. And that's why Joshua told the Israelites, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God has made has ever failed. Not one." And you and I, when we sort through the debris of our problems and heartaches, should by his Spirit come to the same conclusion: God has never failed us. God never will. In Scripture, there is no uncertainty about how God views sin or how God saves sinners. The wages of sin is death. There it is. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There he is. And there is no uncertainty about the consequences of choosing the wrong wisdom. Psalm 1 says, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." That way is inevitable. Compare that with human wisdom, however. Is human wisdom eternal, infallible, or unchangeable? Not at all. You and I live in a world today where truth is relative, where right is wrong and wrong is right, and apparently even the best and brightest academics among us cannot tell the difference between males and females. Are we to entrust ourselves, our children, our salvation to that type of wisdom? When Paul told the Corinthians that the wisdom and rulers of this age are coming to nothing, he was not only talking about the changeability of human wisdom, but its limitations. In the end, all human wisdom comes to nothing, and often it comes to far worse. What happened to those people who followed the wisdom of Jim Jones, or the wisdom of David Koresh of the Branch Davidians, or the wisdom of Joseph de Mombro of the Solar Temple? They all followed that wisdom to their deaths, because the world is full of false wisdom and false messiahs. But second, God's wisdom alone leads to salvation. And God's wisdom for salvation is always and only in Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:30, "In Christ, this Christ has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption," I would add, "our everything." Of course, worldly wisdom thinks nothing is more foolish than the message of a crucified Savior, and nothing is more foolish than an almighty God who undeservedly came here to save not people that deserved it, but to save people who detested him and rejected him and spit in his face. And to the world, nothing is more foolish, not just the message of the cross, but the way that we spread the message, by speaking it, by sharing Jesus with others. And yet, as God is my witness, I stand here today to tell you that there is no greater power on the face of this earth to solve problems, to heal heartaches, to lead sinners to salvation, than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I would say to each of you today that no matter what your problem is, however large or however small, according to God, the answer is Jesus. And that answer never changes. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you," and you all know the next word, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ." And finally, the wisdom of God is revealed to us by his Holy Spirit. I've told some of you in classes that I've taught you that I really enjoy watching nature programs on TV or the internet. The photography is stunning. The subject matter is intriguing. But here's the problem. So many times as I've watched those documentaries about the splendors of this world, the rich and various forms of life, the miracle of birth, the intricacies of the human brain, the complexities of the human body, the grandeur of the whole universe, when I get to the end of the documentary, all of those wonders are attributed to blind, random chance of evolution. And it's at that point, if you're like me, that I stand up and I begin to shout at the narrator, "How can you say that? You just watched the same program I watched. How can you come to such a different conclusion?" But the answer is given in 1 Corinthians 2:10. God has revealed it by his Spirit. And that is a revelation for which each one of us, dear friends, should thank God daily on bended knee. Because apart from the revelation of God's Spirit, God's word would remain a mystery, God's wisdom would remain foolishness, God's creation would remain a theory, and God's Redeemer, Jesus Christ, would remain some poor guy who suffered and died and failed. "No one can call Jesus Lord," wrote Paul, "except by the Holy Spirit." So share the word of God and study the word of God at home, in the dormitories, in the many religion classes that all of you have here on campus. Rejoice that you attend this school, which provides not only a good education, but from a biblical worldview. And one day, should you become a parent, make sure to teach the Bible diligently to your children. Because that way, when they back down the driveway and leave for a life of their own, you won't have to worry if you said enough. You'll know. Amen. Hymn 352, stanzas 1 and 2. 352, stanzas 1 and 2.